thought the only appropriate way to start Prep Sports Now, the podcast this week, was with a round of applause. I probably cut it out too quick. It should have gone a little bit longer. But Nevada beating up on California and out-of-state competition overall. Okay, I know overall I think Nevada only went 4-3, but there was a time a couple years ago where you could just chalk all these games up to a loss. Instead, this week, Gorman 48, Servite 27, Coronado 41, Huntington Beach 26.
And they were down 13-0. Go ahead.
Green Valley 26, Charter Oak 23. This is big. That's three Nevada wins over California. I thought that we should get some recognition for that. That's something I didn't think I would see in a long time.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's something that I never thought I would see in my time covering high school football here, because we were always ugly stepchild to California.
Exactly.
Now we own California. That's our state.
Prep Sports Now. I'm Case Kiefer alongside Ray Brewer. We're brought to you by the Nevada Department of Public Safety that asks you to be a zero. We don't want any teen fatalities on Nevada's roads. So keep your eyes on the road. Keep your hands on the wheel. Don't drink and drive. Don't text and drive. Nevada Department of Public Safety.
Keep your cell phone in your car seat.
Exactly. Really good first week, as we just discussed. Some great out-of-state games. Some good in-state games. And also the debut of the player of the week. We had someone that really got to eating this week. Desert Pines, sophomore quarterback. I like how you handed me the name, because so now the pressure's on. But I think it's Markel Grayson, 350 yards, four touchdowns.
First varsity start.
In his first varsity start, he's a sophomore. Desert Pines, you and I both thought this was going to be a close game with Desert Oasis, and Desert Pines just destroyed them, 42-0, I believe.
If you're talking about outcomes that I was shocked at last week, that would have to be the top. I know Desert Oasis, first-year head coach, but when the DO kids came into media day, they brought four kids, and they all looked healthy.
They were confident, too.
And they, yeah, and now, and you know, we're going to make the playoffs, and DP goes in there, and remember, DP had lost its top four players from last year. You know, Eric Wilkes started for Weber State on this weekend. And DP, no problems.
Yeah,
sophomores all over. So shout out to Mr. Grayson, our player of the week. I will be visiting him Thursday with a gift card to Sammy's Woodfire Pizza, thanks to Sammy's, a gift certificate, and maybe some other goodies. So congratulations.
Yeah, I'm in talking to Tico Rodriguez, the Desert Pines coach. I couldn't believe he might have given me like five names, and at least three or four of them were sophomores. They had a junior. This team is young, and when we kind of talked about the Division 1A picture, maybe we should have put them in there more. We didn't. You didn't. You love Desert Pines,
know,
but you didn't this year.
I know, because every year I get ripped for liking two teams, Vegas and DP, and so I figured since DP had so many sophomores, even though I'd been down there a few times to see them work out in the summer, they had a ton of people. I was like, let me take a year off of my DP bandwagon. Now, here's the question. Do they put up a fight and beat Moapa?
I mean, Moapa's still got some growing to do. I think Moapa's got to be the favorite in the game, even though it is at Desert Pines on Friday, right? Moapa...
Not this Friday, but eventually.
Okay, yeah. I think it's only 2 weeks away.
Okay.
It's pretty close. I knew it was early season. 2 weeks away. Moapa, Zach Heim has had a great game in their debut.
But they only scored 19 points, and the running game is going to be a problem.
Well, they stalled within the 10 on three different times, I think.
They didn't get in. I'm sorry. I get it. They stalled. I even used it in the top 10. I said, don't take anything away from them, and they stalled. But the bottom line is that when the field got shorter, they can't run the ball because the offensive line is still developing.
Spring Valley's not bad either at the Division 1A.
We may disagree on that.
No.
Spring Valley is very formidable at that level.
And I think Moapa Valley's defense showed something. I don't think Spring Valley scored till late in the game. The problem's going to be the line, like you said. But, I mean, they're going to get better as the season goes on. But that game's coming up. So that's a Division 1A one to watch for sure early in the season.
Okay, you're in the music case, right?
Sure.
Okay. Have you heard of the LL Cool J? He's my guy. I love that.
I know. I think this has come up on the podcast before. I know you love LL Cool J.
God, he's the best. I'm going back to Cali, styling, profiling. She's sizing me up. You remember that song?
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit? God, that's the anthem, bro.
I thought you were going to go with a different one, but I got you.
No, but what I'm... Oh, Mama Said Knock You Out? Yeah, I love that song, too. Wow, no, that's good. I would want to show up to a football practice with those two songs on, and I would stay forever. But I was saying Vegas went back to Cali and knocked them out.
Yeah, that's true.
Bah, power punch started on Thursday. The Coronado High Cougars down 13-0. Before you could blink an eye, they score four straight touchdowns unanswered. They beat Huntington Beach 41-28. Great win for the Cougars. Punched in the stats last night. They had like 11 kids catch passes, Case, for Coronado. Obviously, the defense buckled down after giving up the points. And I believe Huntington Beach had won a CIF title. I don't know when, but sometime, because all the Cougar kids were...
I saw that on Twitter.
Were the first public school to be a CIF champion.
How do these CIF champions work? Anyway?
I have no idea. Okay. It's like a lottery system. You get drafted, and then every year De La Salle plays Servite or
Huntington
whatever.
Huntington Beach plays all these other beaches. Redondo Beach. And
yeah, the lower level.
Yeah.
When Carl and I went to that quinceanera in California. Uh-huh. It was on Huntington Beach.
I've been to Huntington Beach
it's
before,
real nice.
Too. World Series of Surfing is there, so shout out for that. Yeah. That's why I think these kids were surfing too much in the offseason.
Yes.
But not taking anything away from Coronado, just joking around. I mean, I thought this was big and really kind of changes my perception of Coronado, who I was already kind of looking out for because of the success they had in the summer, which we wrote about last week on Las Vegas Sun. But I think you kind of have to validate that in an actual game, and seems like they did that. I love high schools that – go to a predominantly passing attack. If you can do it, I think that's what you should do.
Okay.
And I think that the Coronado has really good coaching staff.
Great.
I mean, I think Talich probably had a great game plan for this. And, I mean, falling down 13-0 and coming back. I have nothing but positive things to say about Coronado.
Could I put you on the hot seat, my friend?
Let's do it.
Hot seat time.
Can we
okay.
get this sponsored? I don't think we could use Budweiser, but maybe the Pepsi hot seat.
So next, the Coronado's got a week off, recover from the sunburn, and next week they play Liberty High, and they've been close with Liberty. Liberty isn't lost in 4 or 5 years in the Sunrise. Morocco is going to kill us for saying this. But do you think this is the time for the Cougars to do it, to knock off the Patriots?
Can I really say this after Liberty just covered for me to make sure I didn't lose $5?
Yeah, covered it.
Minus 26.5, beats Basic 42-12. I'm high on Coronado. I think everyone's going to be high on Coronado coming into that game. But I'm going to say it right now. No way.
Okay,
Liberty wins.
Here's the deal. Talich, who's the godfather, right?
What do you mean by the godfather?
He's the man. He's the best coach in the world, right? What he's done at Coronado. He's known for good defenses, right?
Yeah, but he's not going up against a... He's not going up against a nobody here. Morocco's done a pretty good job at Liberty, am I wrong?
Morocco's great, but listen, I think Coronado could slow down Liberty. You're going to give me the points, and I'm going to take Coronado that week.
All right, yeah, we'll wait for that week.
Okay, next Cali game. Rancho lost to Calabasas. It took me to Sunday to get the score. I have no idea what happened, but Rancho scored 16 points. And let me tell you why that's important. The past 2 years combined, they only had 84.
Wow, I'm surprised. I would have taken the under 84. I'm surprised they even scored that much.
Yeah. So
actually, according to your score, they scored 19. 53-19.
Even better. 19.
That's big.
It's like a quarter of what they've done in the last 20 games.
Yeah, and I mean, it would have been nice to have that perfect 3-0 record or 4-0 record against California, but I think realistically, I mean, this is a team that had to go to independent status because they can't compete.
Yeah. Nobody got hurt, and they scored a few touchdowns.
Yeah, so I still say Nevada pulled an LL Cool J.
Knocked them out.
California overall.
Okay, Green Valley Gators, 26. Charter Oak, 23. Lopez, Lake, we knew they were going to be dynamic. They each had big, long scoring plays for the Gators. And the defense, 23 points, they buckled up. I think that Green Valley defense is a lot better than I gave it credit for.
I'm probably going to get in trouble, but I might as well just...
Cordell Tidwell, my guy. Go ahead.
I might as well just perpetuate this rivalry.
Go ahead.
I think Green Valley's win is even more impressive than Coronado's. Just because the way it happened, Green Valley did not play well offensively, according to Coach Brian Castro, and even the numbers don't look all that great. I'm not worried about their offense in the least bit. The offense is going to be fine as the season gets going. But on a night where your offense didn't play well, you go to California, and your defense, which last year was pretty bad, wins the game for you. I think circumstantially, this was the game that might have stood out the most to me in California.
Here's the problem for me. I don't know how good either of these other two schools are.
That's true.
To me, they're just names.
Charter Oak sounds like a lot more of a football power than Huntington Beach.
You don't know the circumstances. Now, I could say, okay, Gorman beat Servite. The game was on Fox. There was 20,000 people there. Servite's got all these players going D1. Yay, Gorman. But we're used to seeing it from Gorman. We expect Gorman to win.
But,
right?
But Gorman's was very impressive. They won by 21.
Against the top 25 team.
They covered your line of minus 18.5, which I thought I had a great line because supposedly some other people thought it should only be 8.5.
Yeah, I know. Who knows Gorman football better than me?
No one.
So maybe people should listen.
To me, that's right up there. I mean, that's to beat them that good. And I was reading about their quarterback, right, that's going to Oregon.
The Servite quarter. Yeah.
He
broke out for one, though, if I read the box.
But still, I mean, to hold him to 27, I think it's good.
And then Gorman found its quarterback, Tate Martell. Throws for 3 touchdowns, lead Gorman on some scoring drives. Cordell Brodus is good as advertised.
You got Dana White comparing the kid to Johnny Manziel. Did you see that tweet?
I know. You know you're the real deal when Dana White's tweeting about you. Now, Alize Jones goes down, hurts his leg. They put the Tajon Lindsey kid in, who is probably one of the best sophomores in the nation, and the kid went off. Had a 90-yard punt return for a touchdown. Don't quote me on the yardage. Caught 2 other passes for a touchdown. Obviously, him and Martell have been playing together since youth football. The connection was there. And Gorman's ride to the national championship, because they're number one in USA Today, is going down the fast track, baby. Because to me, there was 3 hurdles out of the 6 games to win the national championship. Servite on the road, coming up Friday against Bingham. Nobody agrees with me, but that's a good program in Utah, and they're big and physical. And Gorman is bigger and physical than everybody they play, so I can't wait to see how they play against a team that could be more physical than them. And then, obviously, St. John Bosco on the 27th.
What about at Centennial? Nothing?
No.
What about Santa Margarita?
That game's here. Santa Margarita last year had a lot of success against Gorman. They threw the ball around. Gorman needed to go to overtime. Santa Margarita's head coach or offensive coordinator is a former college offensive coordinator at Fresno State. So they're going to be able to put some points up on the board, but I don't see Gorman losing that game at Gorman in the heat.
Maybe we're developing a theme. I'm about to
go ahead.
I'm about to make some trouble again.
Go ahead.
The second time on the podcast.
Do you
know where Gorman absolutely is not going to be challenged on the schedule within about 50 points?
Palo?
Yeah, your favorite game end of the year at Palo Verde. Not even going to be worth watching because
don't
I saw Palo Verde.
Don't.
I saw Palo Verde this week and it was not pretty.
Okay, the Vereen kid didn't play. He was supposed to be their quarterback. They go with Hutchinson. He's got a hard time organizing the offense, right?
Yeah, but how much does Palo Verde even throw anyway? They had to throw early in this game because they were getting beat up.
I mean, apparently, listen, you take – don't be a hater, first of all. You take every team. There's 38 teams around town.
I'm just angry. Palo calls me out when I pick against him and plays great. I pick them and they lay an egg.
I'm just saying, how many teams are in – and I love that quarterback from Centennial, Rodriguez.
Oh, the kids
– oh, my God.
They need to let him loose a little bit more.
I know.
I think there's some
– he's the truth.
As good as Centennial is, there were some issues I think I saw. I think they need to kind of loosen the reins on this offense. I felt like it got to the third quarter. They were up 12-0 or whatever. And they basically started to try to run out the time. I even heard someone on the sideline say, like, let's get that clock running. That's not going to work against some teams like Arborview. And Palo Verde didn't play well this game, so it turned out okay. But also, I was very impressed with the quarterback, Juan Rodriguez. Athletic, can throw. I felt like they needed to open it up a little bit for him.
He's the real deal. Back to my original point. How many teams in town lose their starting quarterback and don't miss a beat?
Not many.
I
gotta say,
if it happens to my Wildcats, they're done.
We're burying the lead here because
that's my strength. Go ahead.
The Centennial defense was just outstanding. I don't care if Vereen wasn't playing, whatever. They had still had a kid that was on the All-Sun team, Palo Verde. Jaron Campbell.
More of a linebacker. Other running backs you heard.
Huh?
More of a linebacker. Go ahead.
Was the kid not good in the past? Was he not supposed to pick up more than like 3 yards a carry or whatever he finished with? This defense was absolutely sick. Up front, you had Greg Rogers.
My guy, Greg
and
Rogers.
Justin Shellard just dominating the Palo Verde offensive line, which is traditionally pretty good.
Yeah. Palo got manhandled in the trenches. I'll use the excuse of the quarterback, but the truth is that Centennial smacked him in the mouth 7-on-7 up front. Go ahead. You're right.
Yeah, up front. The linebackers, too, were just great. I wish I could just list off their whole defense, but I don't have all the names in front of me. But really, defensively, I thought they were outstanding. And I think Palo Verde's got some issues to correct.
Oh, they got a ton of issues.
Well, defending them.
Palo Verde did not score. Are you talking about surprises? Maybe that's more surprising than what DP did to D.O.
Yeah, it was a pretty cool moment. Leon Evans, coach of Centennial, his pregame speech was like, someone tell me the last time Palo Verde's been shut out. And no one could know. I couldn't know either. I went back and looked as far as I could. It's been at least 8 years. But then one of the players finally just said, tonight! And then they all started chanting tonight, which I thought was pretty cool. Because it was like 2 years ago when Centennial, for lack of a better word, kind of fluked out a victory against Palo. Wasn't it like in overtime they barely won and it was like the biggest celebration ever? This year they absolutely smashed them. This has never happened before. This is unprecedented.
Okay, so let me go into one of my dilemmas. I do the top 10 every week, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Palo, they don't score. They were ranked, I think, 7th in the preseason. What do you do with Palo?
I need to get your top 10 up.
You pull up the top 10. It went Gorman, Liberty, Arbor, GVHS, Centennial, Vegas, Canyon.
Wow. Color me surprised. You pass up Centennial with Vegas despite them having not played. I like it. I'm giving you some credit. But
who do you put in the top 10 instead of Palo? Do you put in Faith, who had less than 100 yards and lost?
No, Faith does not deserve to be
in
the top 10.
Do you put in DP?
DP could have an argument, but at the same time, if Palo Verde and DP play tomorrow, I don't think I'm picking DP.
I take
DP.
Palo all day.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, right? So who else is there? Are you telling me that there's only 10 good – Foothill lost 41-0. Looked awful against a great Utah team. Legacy is in for it this week. I just don't know who would take that 10th spot.
It's true. I don't disagree with you. Maybe this week, after we have a larger sample size, what if Green Valley just – beats up on Palo, which I don't think is very far-fetched. Maybe then you drop him out.
For who, though? That's the thing.
We're going to have another week. We're going to see who plays that well. I mean, there's got to be some. What if Desert Pines turns around and does the same thing against Clark and wins 42-0?
I love Clark.
Yeah, so if Desert Pine does that, I think you have a little bit more of a reasoning. So that would be my answer. I would say they can hang on to top 10. I mean, they have a great program, obviously very well coached. I want to see what they're going to do next week. I don't think they saw this coming. I know this is really...
Are you talking DP or
I'm
Palo?
Talking Palo. I know it's hard to say for someone that's not around the program, and it's always hard to judge things, but I just feel like they didn't have a lot of energy. Last year when I saw them, the kids were jumping around excited to play. This one, I thought they were kind of dragging. Centennial returns a punt for a touchdown, and a bunch of players are walking off kind of sulking with their head down. One of the senior leaders even yelled, get your head up, what are you doing? And I kind of agreed. I felt like they had no energy. Then, at the end of the third quarter, I think it was, like the entire team is cramping up. I'm wondering, are they not conditioned well either?
Bananas, you got to have
cramping up. One kid I thought was like seriously injured. He's like screaming on the field. And Sam Morris and I are looking at each other like, oh, great, here comes a huge injury timeout. I hope the kid's okay. Turns out it was just a cramp.
Yeah. Have you ever had a Charlie horse?
I've had some awful cramps in my days. I used to have problems with that, but God, just it stood out. The
it's
energy.
It's 105 out. You got to be drinking.
Centennial wasn't cramping up.
Let me tell you, I was at the Liberty Basic game. Pull up the Liberty roster real fast for me. It's like 105. I couldn't find a glass of water if I had to, and my guy from Liberty gave me a closed cold bottle of water, and I'm indebted to this kid for the rest of my life. I drank it like a. I was at the Sahara Desert. I absolutely downed.
You don't know who it is?
Number 44. I didn't get
his
name.
Well, we don't have our roster quite yet, but I'm working on it. We'll get him a shout out. While we're at shout outs, you got the kid's name that we talked about the blocking last week for Bishop
Ryan
Gorman.
Ryan Garrett from Bishop Gorman.
Ryan Stud. Garrett.
Stud.
There you go.
STUD. Garrett Stud. Let's talk about the Liberty Patriots.
The game you were at.
The game I was at. Okay, first of all, Basic is in some deep trouble. Its offense not that good. I don't know if that was because Liberty's defense is above average to great with Noah Jefferson, Calvin Tubbs, Brian Rowland, Ethan Dudeau, four D1 kids, or if Basic is just struggling to move the ball, to be announced. But Liberty is really, really good defensively. Rowland, the junior, Tubbs, a big boy, a junior, Dudeau, a sophomore, and they start a freshman at quarterback, Kenyon Oblad. He threw a good ball. He was airing on a few, had a few drops. Then he found Dudeau for a 55-yard touchdown where the kid, like, reached up, grabbed the ball from thin air, sprinted to the end zone, and kind of got the kid's nerves down a little bit. But I could see in 2 years where Liberty's underclassmen are going to be really, really good together, for whatever it's worth.
Dudeau is a sophomore, too.
Sophomore. Right? He's the real deal, bro.
I mean, we got some good sophomores
in
town.
He is the real deal. I'd put him – I would love to see he guard the Tajon Lindsay kid from Gorman. We might even see that later this year.
I can't remember a time where after one week we had this many sophomores that were just awesome.
I know.
It's pretty
– when I was a kid, bro, you had to be like held back a year to play as a sophomore on varsity or so phenomenal. I mean, you know, my JV soccer team had so many good players on it, but nobody could play varsity because that was only for juniors and seniors. We beat our varsity team all the time.
I'm sure it wasn't this pronounced, but I think we even talked about this on the podcast. In 2010, it was my first year doing the podcast. I couldn't believe it was like coaches were opposed to letting sophomores play, which I just didn't understand. Where I come from, the best players play. It doesn't matter if you're 2 years behind.
Yeah, well, Nevada's behind.
But I don't think it's like that anymore. It seems like sophomores are just doing great.
Gorman's got a ton of sophomores that contribute regularly. Virgin Valley, by the way, has got like four seniors on the roster. It's all sophomores. I mean, all juniors. Not that that matters. Liberty, believe it or not, Case, plagued by penalties. Let me tell you this. There's one referee, and I was going to call Mark Ratner. There's one referee who every time I see him on the field when I show up at a game, I want to get back in my car and go to another game.
Was it the guy? Or there was a referee at my game at Palo Centennial, and our photographer.
I know who, yeah.
Our photographer, Sam's like, what's that guy's name? And I was like, I have no idea. And he's like, Brewer can't stand that guy. Yeah. Is it him or is this another guy?
That guy also calls way too many penalties. But this other guy's been around for years, and I show up at the Basic game. He's on the Basic sideline, and I'm like, it's going to be a long night. That dude threw a penalty flag on every other play. Liberty probably had 15 penalties for 180 yards, give or take. I don't know how many of those were Liberty making penalties, how many were this guy getting his quota. It is what it is. But Liberty, of course.
Known for penalties.
Known for penalties. Tubbs had a fumble on the goal line. Two interceptions by the freshman quarterback. Liberty fumbles on the last play of the first half, scooped up by Dallin Elliott, returned for a touchdown. The Elliott kid could play for Basic. So if you take away all those mistakes, I think Liberty, you know, beats Basic by 40-some points. Super impressed with Liberty's younger players. And then Noah Jefferson's a big man.
He is.
I mean, he is a big, big, big man. And shout out the 44 for that water.
I think he said it was 45.
44, I thought.
Okay, well, 45 was J.R. Trevino. That was who I was about to give a shout-out to.
Well, 44.
44, Curtis Brown.
No, it wasn't him. It was a Polly, one of my Polly brothers.
45, J.R. Trevino.
Maybe it was him. Shout-out. Maybe it was some kid wearing a jersey.
5'8", 195. Sound about right.
Low to the ground. Maybe that was him.
I think it was J.R. Shout-out.
Dying over there, Case. I was sweating. I was losing my voice because I had to do the TV stand-up for Channel 8. Or Channel 3.
Afterwards?
So they call me like seconds before the game. So I run back into the house. I got to put on a collar shirt. Apparently I pick a bad shirt. Morocco told me he didn't like my shirt.
Oof.
So either way, let's do the picks.
All right, let's get to them.
Shout out to Green Valley. Shout out to Coronado. We're proud of you. Shout out to Gorman. Let me ask you this. Dumb question we start.
It's a good Thursday game. Okay, go ahead.
Dumb question before we start. So we had a little league team, Mountain Ridge, that went to Williamsport, right?
Mm-hmm.
The whole town rallied around these kids.
Yeah.
Love these kids. People read stories about these kids more than anything we've written all year. on Sun.com, right? There's parades, watch parties at bars, the whole nine yards, right?
Yeah. Did more people read about it than the story about the female who hid the watches in her private regions?
I
thought that was a pretty well-read story.
No, I mean, aside from okay, do you think the town, Gorman's now 2-0 against ranked out-of-state opponents. Mm-hmm. Do you think the town is going to get behind Gorman and say, these are our kids, go get your national championship? Do you think they should?
Not saying right or wrong. I don't want to weigh in on the if they should, but absolutely not. The town is not going to get behind them.
But why? I can't figure out why are these kids different?
There's just a stigma against – I mean, I'm not saying it's right, but there's a stigma against them.
It was ranked
if it was Palo, they would do the same thing. That's what Gorman, I guess, can still be happy about. If it was Palo, there would be murmurs like, oh, how'd they get all these kids, blah,
yeah,
blah, blah.
Darwin's
I don't want to support
pasta
them.
Dinners in the Centennial area.
Yeah, exactly. I think that – I don't know exactly what it is, but I don't think that they will get behind just about any team that does this.
The best high school football team in the nation.
Very possibly.
Right here in our city. Does that matter?
I think
– we have the 111th best college football team.
If the difference was that people here after Mountain Ridge got to the World Series didn't have to play against them. If all these teams didn't have to play against Gorman, if Gorman was playing all national teams, I don't think that people would hate them. I think they would be rooting for him and wanting Las Vegas to have the best team. I think that people are looking at him saying, okay, great, they won. Now we've got to play them and lose by 70 in a couple weeks.
Okay, well, do they play Bonanza this year?
Hopefully not. They do play Durango.
Oof.
It's on the road, though.
That doesn't matter. He's the bus. Don't turn the bus off that week. It's going to be ugly.
Yeah, so I don't know. I think it's definitely you should be happy for Gorman and hoping they can win a national championship because that would be huge for Southern Nevada. I just personally, from talking to people around town and from the emails I get on about a weekly basis of people complaining about Bishop Gorman, I just don't think it's going to happen.
Okay, but here's the deal.
And I know I'm objective and everything else, but I hope they win every out-of-state game. I hope they're the national champions.
I think if you talk to anybody at Gorman, they were equally happy for Coronado and Green Valley that they won in California, right?
I'm not supporting it.
Okay, I'm just
answering your question.
I can't figure out the logic. But
they don't like that. What it boils down to is they don't like they have to play against Bishop Gorman. They feel like it's – people around town, and I don't know why I'm telling you this. You know this.
I know.
They feel like it's unfair that they have to play Bishop Gorman.
I know.
That's why they're not going
to
root for him.
Tua's dad, right, pulled up a story from 1998.
El Dorado, right?
El Dorado. Gorman upsets El Dorado in the playoffs. How quick times have changed.
Yeah, look how far Gorman has come. And this is one thing I haven't monitored a lot of the what people are saying, the fans are saying, but one thing I've always agreed kind of with Tua's dad and some people like that on is
– who's a Gorman grad?
It's not going to be like this forever. Gorman is dominating right now, and I don't think there's any end in sight, but I don't think they're winning the next 10 state championships or anything. There's going to be some time where it ends. Am I wrong for thinking that?
I mean,
maybe. I don't know.
Well, here's the deal. If there comes a time when Tony Sanchez possibly gets another job and leaves, I mean, is Tony going to be the coach the next 30 years? If so, then I think they got a good chance to win because the infrastructure's there. But if Tony leaves and they bring in somebody else, I don't know if that person might be able to duplicate the success. With that said, Gorman football would be a national job now, right?
You would think.
I mean, De La Salle went, 12 years without losing? They made a movie after him, and now De La Salle is lost, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's get the picks, kid.
All right. This is a great Thursday night game. Foothill at Centennial. Centennial can kind of prove they're as good as a lot of people, including me, think they are. I think they're a bona fide top five team. I'm not even sure. I think we both picked Arborview to win the division. The beginning of the year. I'm not even sure if that's right. I think Centennial might even be better than them.
Wait till our review eats.
Might.
On Friday.
Hey, I'm just saying might. They're definitely not in a different class. If those two teams played 10 times, neither one of them is winning 7 or 8. It's going to be 6-4 or 5-5.
Okay.
I think.
Okay.
Centennial's defense was outstanding, which including their secondary. I think Foothill's going to try to throw on them. And this could be a vulnerable spot for Centennial coming off a big win against a rival. But I can't pick against Centennial. I think they're going to win, and I think they're going to win by more than you do.
I think this game's actually going to be close. Centennial, the knock on them entering the year was, how are they going to score? We saw their mentality that they only pulled off a handful of points against Paolo. Foothill is not as bad as the 41-0 loss when they played the team Desert Hills from St. George. Desert Hills has got a lot of D1 kids. I think this is going to be a close game. Centennial clearly going to win, but I think just the Paolo hangover might kill the Bulldogs.
I could see that. You know one way Centennial is going to score that we haven't talked about? I don't know where they get all these kids from, but they have one of the best kickers in town. Zach Mays, the kid attempted, I think, a 50. He missed the 50-yarder he attempted, but made, I think, a 35-yarder and has touchbacks on every kickoff.
Yeah, he was our preseason all-city kicker.
Yeah, it seems like every year they have a good kicker. And defensively, this team is just great. Tyshawn Barbie, Deion Scott, look out for those kids.
Love how you recognize these kids.
When they're making every
tackle.
I'm too
busy looking
for you should have seen some of the hits this Deion Scott kid laid out on people.
I'm just looking for a glass of water. That's my thing. If I can't get a glass of water, it's over with.
All right, so we both got Centennial. The next game is Bingham at Gorman.
All roads point to Gorman winning this game and winning it convincingly. And I know Gorman is not the type of program that has a hangover from a victory or from traveling because they've done it so much and their players are programmed to respond. But I've told everybody since day one that Bingham is big and physical, and I looked at this as a red flag on the schedule. I may be wrong. I've been wrong before, usually not with Gorman. I think Gorman wins by less than 10, but they pull out the W.
I think they win by more than that, but I do want you to educate me on one thing. So Martell's the guy now, the quarterback?
If he's not, then I'm walking to the game on Friday.
Did Hong still started and Martell came
Hong
in
Hong started, was like 4 of 9 for 32 yards. Gorman wasn't doing anything. Its defense kept him in the game. Martell came in at the end of the first half, led him on a scoring drive, and he played the rest of the way.
Obviously, I don't know much, but then why wasn't this kid the starter at the beginning of the year? Is it because he's the old sophomore stigma? He's only sophomore?
No. He is a transfer from San Diego, came in this summer. Hong knew the offense better, and Hong was good in camp. He was great in camp.
Well,
everybody raved about him.
I'm just saying, if you're trying to make a case against Gorman, you're saying now you're pretty sure this is the guy who didn't even win the job in the offseason. What if it was just a flash?
No.
He showed against Survey.
This kid's committed to Washington.
What if?
Dana White called him Johnny Manziel.
It's a sophomore. He could have a bad game.
This kid is Johnny Manziel.
Hey,
he's the truth.
I agree. I'm just trying to make a
devil's advocate.
I'm trying to do that. I don't think Gorman's going to lose this game. In fact, I think they're going to win by more than you do. I'm going to give him I think they'll win by about 3 touchdowns again.
All right.
And I think Martell will be great, for the record. I'm just saying, if you're making a case against Gorman, maybe that could be something you said. But, I mean, when you have Tyjon Lindsey and Cordell Brodus,
it's pretty By the way, Martell follows to his dad on Twitter.
There you go.
Okay, just thought I'd let you know.
You should. The biggest Gorman football fan there is, right?
They should name a bleacher spot after.
Maybe Lorenzo Fertitta. It's between those two.
Yeah.
The two biggest fans, in my opinion. Snoop Dogg, not quite on their level yet.
No.
Right.
Gorman dad. Go ahead.
Valley at Basic. You say Basic's bad. Are they bad enough to lose to Valley, who lost to Del Sol?
Basic's offense is going to have an opportunity to get some confidence this week. I've got them winning by 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, I got to agree with you. Valley, I don't think they're good enough to beat Basic. Green Valley at Palo Verde. This is a game that I thought was going to be a lot more interesting before I saw Palo Verde.
Thought it'd be our game of the week.
And really before did. I saw what Green Valley did to Charter Oak and getting a win there. There's just until I see Palo do something different, I know I'm being very negative, but that's just what I saw. I just can't pick them in a game like this. Last year, Green Valley even beat Palo Verde in overtime.
Fluke.
I think Green Valley's a lot better, and Palo's not as good.
Green Valley's defense is improved, Case. Not as good as Centennial's defense. I think we both agree on that.
So Palo won't get shut out for 2 weeks in a row is what you're saying.
Yep, Green Valley wins.
All right, Green Valley, I've got them too. Are we going to disagree on any game this week? It
I
might
don't know.
Be this one. Rancho at Las Vegas.
Oh, my God. Listen, I tell people that this bone game was an important rivalry and how it used to get sold out and how when both schools were close to each other in downtown Las Vegas, it was an event. but I might regret saying this, and I apologize if I offend anybody. I don't even know if we need to play the game until Rancho gets better.
That's not offensive. That's intelligent.
Okay. I love Vegas, as you know. I love Rancho. I love Tyrone. I love those kids over there, what they're trying to do. But I like my town. And when you say that this game is an important rivalry and one team for 20 straight years wins by 50-plus points, maybe we should stop playing the game. I don't know. And I know there's a lot of pageantry with the student councils raising money for charity and whatever it is. Now, you look at the bone game. I mean, the cleat game between my alma mater, Shap, and El Dorado, at least the two teams are equal. And this year's game went down to the wire for like the third straight year. And you could see kids celebrating and having fun. I just fear, Case, and this is dumb of me saying this, but do the Vegas kids even care about winning the bone? I mean, like this is our bone. We're going to put it in the middle of the field for 2 hours and we're going to go take it back to our trophy case. If Vegas would lose the bone, then the kids would care about it. But right now it's a
foregone conclusion.
Yeah, what's the fun in that?
I agree. I don't think we're learning anything about Vegas until next week at Legacy, which I know you probably disagree and think they'll just smash them too. I think that they could probably beat Rancho with just Jacob Littlefield playing defense.
1-11.
I'm not going out on
a team effort.
I'm not going out on a limb. That's one of my favorite players in town.
Oh, you like him?
Oh, I love him.
Oh, I didn't know.
He had like 8 million tackles.
He's a machine.
You know, I will always take like a 21-17 game where a defense has to come up at the end over like a 42-40 thriller that will go down as the game of the year. And in a game like that where it's close and you need a stop, Vegas has quite a weapon in Littlefield. The kid tackles everything.
Well, they say his brother, who's a sophomore, Cruz, might be better.
Ooh. You're causing trouble now, starting a family rivalry.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying that. I mean,
if he's better, he's got a long way to go. There's a lot of things I want to know about Vegas. I know he's like the most hype player in town, but I haven't seen Elias Miller do a lot because he's been stuck behind Moreland and some of those other guys. I really want to see how he's going to be this year. I want to see the line, which everyone's going to say is one of the best in the state. I don't think we're going to learn any of that from Rancho.
All I know is that Vegas is an injury away from having the wheels fall off. But if all the wheels are tightly on, I think they could put up a fight.
They would win this game if they could only play six people on both sides of the ball. No question in my mind.
All right.
Vegas wins.
All right. Cimarron at Durango. Cimarron, the Spartans, they beat the Desert Shields last week of Cheyenne 21-14. They trailed early 14-0, rally back for the win. This week they're at Durango, Durango's first game. It's tough when you're that team, Case, playing in your first game against a team that's already got a game under its belt. Penalties, everything's a problem. I think Cimarron actually piles it on a little bit.
Speaking of being tough is when you're just not nearly as good of a team. Cimarron's a lot better than Durango. Speaking of defenders, who's my guy on Cimarron? I love one of their defensive guys you told me about,
too. Something or other.
Haven't seen him, but...
John. Yep.
John.
I'm going to get his name before the show's over.
All right, yes.
First name is John.
Speaking of guys that make every tackle, John Cimarron, look out for him. He's going to have a huge year.
I might have it right here.
He might have had under 100 tackles last year, right?
Over 100.
Yeah, exactly.
Over 100, yeah. His name is... We're really prepared.
John Spartan.
Hold on. Yeah, maybe... Joe Tito's been awesome.
John Nelson.
And Joe Tito's been the guy, though, too.
They got John Parcells as their coach, too. John's all – the Centennial – the Cimarron Memorial Johns.
Nice.
All right.
Nice.
Next game, Arborview at Silverado.
I think Arbor comes out, Case, and just puts the hammer to Silverado, makes a statement, says, we are a player. Hear us roar. We're going to take this one deep this season. I think this is the best Arborview team in school history.
You've got to win by 32.
32?
What? Do you have something in mind for the $5 game of the week?
I do.
I mean, I'm talking bad on Arborview all of a sudden. You're acting like I diss them. I think they're going to win this game, but I think 32 is too much.
Give me a number. I'll put 5 on this game.
28?
25 and a half, I'm in.
26 and a half.
Book it. Right, here we go, baby.
26 and a half. I've got Silverado plus 26 and a half. I like it. I think Silverado is going to be decent this year. I don't think they're going to be great. I don't think they're going to beat Arborview, but it's the first game of the year. Who knows? I think they keep it somewhat close.
All right. All right.
I already hate myself for making that bet. Maybe we should have bet on this game. This is one of the biggest as far as bragging rights of the week, the banner game, the fight for the banner, Bonanza at Spring Valley. I can remember a couple of years ago these teams were really pretty evenly matched, maybe even last year, but I think this year Spring Valley's a leg up.
I agree, 32-7. Next game, Desert Oasis at Sierra Vista. Some feel that DO should have never opened, that it gutted Sierra Vista. Eventually led to their demise to drop down to Division 1A. I will tell you this, Sierra Vista rolls this year because they have the best player on the field, Malik Brody, who ran for a lot of yards last week against Sunrise Mountain.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure that Sierra Vista has never beaten Desert Oasis.
Wow.
I think that I wrote about it one year, that Desert Oasis had beat them every year since they opened, and it was kind of a sore spot for Sierra Vista. But that program is absolutely headed in the right direction. I think this might be closer than you think, because I don't think Desert Oasis is just going to no-show for another week. But this is the year. Mountain Lions, I think, finally beat the Diamondbacks.
Okay, Legacy at Desert Hill, Utah. Desert Hill's, of course, put a can of whatever on the Foothill Falcons 41-0 last week. I think it's similar to Legacy.
Come on. The Isola offense is going to get shut out in the debut? There's no way.
They're going to Utah. Now, I understand that Legacy's virtually in Utah, so it's not that big of a drive. But
do you really believe they're going to get shut out?
Did I put zero on the piece of paper? Well, do you want to make it? It's not a typo.
I want to scratch the $5 bet and have you give me a prop that Legacy is going to get in the end zone. I think DeMichael Walker is better than anyone Foothill has on offense.
It's fine. He could be better, but, I mean, he's going to run into a brick wall.
Legacy is going to score. Isola knows what he's doing over there. Desert Hills wins.
You
Legacy
talk about
scores.
Isola like he's North Turner. Dude.
Hey, North Turner was a terrible head coach, so let's not compare
him. No, but coordinator-wise, I mean.
It's not the coordinator. He's the head coach. He's going to be more He's going to be more Jim Harbaugh than Norv Turner as a head coach.
Oh, my God. All right, next game. Shadow Ridge at Liberty. I think we know what's going to happen here. Liberty playing in its first game. Shadow Ridge playing in its second. No big surprises.
Liberty, big. Liberty, I really don't know what else to say.
Okay, Faith Lutheran. They lost 26-0 in Idaho. We didn't talk about the Rocky Mountain Challenge.
Oh, we should have given a shout-out to Mojave. Play? Are they coming up?
They're coming up. We'll talk about Mojave
later.
We
give all the out-of-state wins. We don't even mention Mojave.
Mojave, they only put up 48 points. It's all right. It's all right. Delgado knows.
Could have put up 56 with Isola.
Yeah.
Just joking.
They scored on the
Delgado's
first two
doing
plays
a great
from
job
scrimmage.
There. Yeah, they're doing outstanding. We should have mentioned them earlier, but we'll correct that.
Okay, I think Faith recovers after the loss. The team they lost to, by the way, Shelley, Idaho, was like a 9-time state champion, including the last 2 years. They had a lot of people there. Faith didn't have a prayer.
Absolute powerhouse.
Yeah,
so
I think Faith has a prayer this year. They're playing Virgin, and they're going to beat them.
I honestly didn't remember this. Did you remember Virgin beat Faith last year? I thought Faith only had the one loss. They beat Faith. Faith started 0-2. Virgin beat them.
0-2.
And Virgin is...
The fight in Vernon's came back.
Virgin is really confident that they can be just as good this year, even though they lost just about everyone and have new guys. Christian Pongo is their big standout. I don't think they're going to win this game, but I also don't think they're going to lose 40-13.
All right.
Well coached, Yori Ludvigsen.
All right. Now that we know how to spell his name,
they're not going to lose by 27 points.
But they are going to lose.
They are going to lose. I got Faith Lutheran avenging one of their only two losses last year.
All right. Hurricane, whatever.
I refuse to say that. Hurricane.
Hurricane at Moapa Valley. I actually think Moapa Valley never loses at home. It's rare. I think this is the one time they get beaten at home. I love Moapa. I've got them at 9 in our poll. They sling it around well, but when it comes, push comes to shove in the trenches, they're just not getting it done right now. I got 30-25. This could be the game we differ on.
You just put too much pressure on me. Hurricane usually beats the Nevada teams, right? You had to throw that out there, though. We're not going to differ on any other game. I think Moapa can do it. I was impressed with what Hymas did last week, even though you weren't because they stalled in the 10. That's going to be correctable. That's going to even itself out. You're not going to get inside the 10 three times and not score.
There's two people in this world, Case. They're starters and they're finishers. Get in the end zone. Finish.
It's just statistically you're not going to go 0 for 3 every game you get inside the 10. I don't care if you have no offensive line. I don't care if you're – They're going to get in the end zone.
The field keeps condensed there, baby.
It's tough, but they're going to be better than they were. I'm going Moapa. I'm not very confident about it. This could be a good game.
My Chaparral Cowboys at Mojave. Jerome Williams for Shap was great in the bone game. Couldn't get it done by itself. Ty Flanagan almost 300 yards at the Rocky Mountain Challenge. Helped Mojave pull that game out. Back and forth slugfest against Skyview. 48-40 was the final. Mojave actually had like three or four kids go down to injury. They're only going to dress about 22 kids for this game with Chaparral. But Ty Flanagan will be dressed, and that's really all you need. I got Mojave big. Flanagan's a beast.
Mojave gets its own round of applause since I totally dropped the ball on that to begin with. Mojave, we said we wanted to see if they were actually a state championship contender. I think so far the early returns are yes. I think it's going to continue to be yes. They're going to beat up on your Cowboys.
You know who they remind me of a little bit? And shout out to the Mojave line because Anthony Vereen and Franklin Contreras, they were giving me a little bit of a hassle on Twitter this week saying that look how good our line is. We just went up to Idaho and took care of business. This Mojave team reminds me of Cheyenne 2 years ago. Right? Remember Cheyenne?
They made the semis, right?
Yeah, I think they were a bad bounce away from losing to Truckee.
Mm-hmm.
Lake Tahoe guy thinks I'm crazy for saying that. I can't remember the name of their tailback, number two, remember?
I remember the kid now. I can't remember his name.
Yeah, I'm getting old.
Did he go and play somewhere?
Negative.
Okay. Well.
I think they might have blamed that on me, too. But anyways.
Blamed it on you?
Yeah.
Milo Lewis.
That's right. Okay.
There we go.
All right. Next game, Sunrise Mountain, which is improved. They scored a few points against Sierra Vista last week against El Dorado. I use my hangover theory. I say El Dorado's got a hangover from winning the Cleat game against Shap, which they partied like it was 1984.
Why 1984?
Isn't that song?
I thought it was 1999.
Oh, is it 1999?
Yes.
Okay. But I still think they got enough to get the win against Sunrise, 24-22.
Yeah, I've got El Dorado here. We're pretty much in agreement. I can see where you're coming from. El Dorado all the way. Pahrump Valley at Boulder City. Eagles really let me down last week. They were up on Clark, fell apart.
By 10 entering the fourth quarter.
Entering the fourth quarter even? I thought it was just at halftime.
No, entering the fourth quarter.
Not good. Clark came back. Pahrump, on the other hand, I don't know if I should say let me down, but I picked against them too, and they just destroyed Bonanza. This is a long trip to Boulder City for Pahrump, but I think I'm going to ride them again. I'm going to go with the Trojans.
I got to ride them as well. Pahrump returned like 18 or 19 starters from last year. They put up 41. They soundly beat a higher classified school in Bonanza. I think they go and they get it done at Boulder City, and which should be a good game because it always is. Western at Del Sol. Del Sol, which won one game last year, will have two wins. After this one, they win big 43-9. But shout out for Western. They had a few points against Virgin Valley.
Yes, scouting report. I don't have the kid's name, but the Virgin Valley folks said that Western has one player that's really legit. The fastest kid on the field, can get to the corner and beat you. So Western might put up some points this year every once in a while, which is doesn't sound like a big deal, but probably different than last year. I'm still going to say Del Sol gets this one. Del Sol going to be 2-0. How about that?
Wow. They were very upset at us last week for picking Valley.
Oh, we were so off base when they won, what, 17-14?
Yeah, I think it was 16-14.
With what you were telling me is how disappointed they were in us picking against them, I thought they were going to win 60-3.
Well, they stalled a few times inside the 10-yard line.
Okay.
Right?
There you go. Turn it back on me. All right.
Okay. Clark at Desert Pines. Listen, Clark is their no, I'm sorry, DP. We love DP, right?
Yeah, you know, the two kind of soapboxes I got on this podcast was how teams shouldn't be shy to play underclassmen, and teams shouldn't be shy to throw the ball if they have anyone that's somewhat capable of. This is the sign of a well-coached team. They're doing both those things because they can. They've got our EAT player of the week in Markell.
Great player.
Markell Grayson.
350 and four touchdowns. If you want to nominate somebody for our Player of the Week honors, call me on Sunday. Text me on Sunday. Text me. Call me. Do whatever. Email me. Whatever you want to do. Hit me up on Twitter, at RayBrewer21.
Yeah, they got this kid. They got Andre Watts and John McCoy at receiver. They don't care that he's a sophomore. They don't care that in high school football you're supposed to, quote-unquote, establish the run. They're well-coached. They're doing what they're supposed
to
do.
You got to have the run to win. You got to have the
Desert
run.
Pines. If you can throw the ball, it's more important. They can throw the ball. I'm going to be picking them a lot this year. I got them to beat Clark.
Last game, Chi-Town at Canyon. Here's where my theory goes to shreds.
Cheyenne didn't have a bad start. I mean, they were beating Cimarron till late. Canyon Springs
got shut out the last three quarters.
Canyon Springs lost just about everyone.
First game for Canyon Springs, second game for Cheyenne. That leads you to take Cheyenne. However, Canyon's a top 10 team in the Sun Poll. Ziavante Stevenson's going to go off. Give me the Pioneers.
And we got another Stevenson. Centennial's running back is named Stevenson, too, and he could be pretty good as well. But I got Zaviante being better, and I've got Zaviante leading the Pioneers to victory this week.
Wow, we agree a lot.
Nevada, hopefully next week there's some closer games.
Okay.
There is Moapa at DP, which I'm already just scratching my head over because I don't even want to have to pick that.
I went to Moapa last year to cover that game.
It was close, right?
It was a good game. I had fun.
God, I love DP right now. I'm taking over the Ray Brewer love of DP.
Ah.
All right, well, we'll be back next week. Remember to buckle up. Don't text and drive. Nevada Department of Public Safety, Prep Sports Now. We're out.